This guy is not a human being. He is ridiculous. I'm sorry, Mario. On the pitch, he's absolutely pants. You are in Scotland. You stay in Scotland. This isn't like a Brexit deal. They don't do it this year, Mario. Everyone's going to look at Liverpool like they're a laughing stock.
Welcome back to another episode of the People's Podcast. As always, we are joined by
Man Like Hex.
And we got a lot to cover. Brendan Rodgers, his controversial return to the Premier League, El Clasico records, and the MLS opening weekend. But first, we'll go to the Mersey Derby. Those are one of those classical derbies that, you know, they stand by themselves. Everybody always watch them. But this has a little bit more coming because we're watching at the top of the league. We got Manchester City and Liverpool both going at it. They were 1 point different from each other. But the game at Goodison Park was 0-0. Liverpool, they did extend their unbeaten run against Everton for 17 matches now. It's like a record. But is that good enough? Do you think this team is good enough? And I, you know, like with moments like this, I need the coach's point of view because I feel like the coach always gives the insight. What do you feel about Liverpool?
Well, listen, Mario, at the end of the day, the thing is with Liverpool is it's kind of like a running theme at the moment where they get to this stage in the title race and they start to get a little bit scared. You know what I mean? Liverpool had their title destiny in their own hands before they went down to Everton. And to get a draw, I mean, Everton ain't playing that great this season. And I would have put Liverpool down as the winners in this game. But to go away with a 0-0 draw, I mean, that's pretty poor. You know, Man City now looking down at them thinking, right, we're at number one. You know, I don't think Man City are going to let this slip. And it's again, I've got so much admiration for Jurgen Klopp. Fantastic manager. You know, amazing at getting his players, you know, riled up and making them get that sort of attitude into getting into games and being a proper footballing side. But on this occasion, going and getting a draw, you know, in the Merseyside derby, for me, it's not good enough, Mario. They should have won this game. And it just feels like they're cracking again, you know, and it's not a great thing. It's really not a good thing when it comes to the title race.
No, because you want them to win it. I mean, Gary Neville, we all understand that he's maybe the more biased to Manchester United, but he still made a valid point, I think. I think the league is way more important than the Champions League at this point for Liverpool, especially because they haven't won it since 1990. So I understand people might say, hey, the Champions League is as relevant as the league. But the biggest trophy at this point for Liverpool is winning the league.
I couldn't agree more with you, Mario. Sorry to interrupt, but you've made a great point. Like, if you look at the teams, Liverpool have been a successful team throughout the years. Everyone knows how legendary Liverpool are. They've had some unbelievable footballers. They've won some unbelievable trophies. But it's what matters today. And Liverpool fans, yeah, I mean, they'd like to win the Champions League again, I suppose, but the Premier League is the one that they want. I mean, Man City, they're probably bored of winning it at the moment. You know, it's becoming, you know, second nature to them. Champions League possibility for Man City. But for Liverpool supporters, we all know what they want to win, and that's the Premier League, because Man United have done it so many times. I mean, Chelsea of late have won the Premier League. Leicester City, Mario, winning the Premier League. That's the only team with an L at the minute at the start of their name that's won the title. 1990, Mario. Liverpool need to start fixing up, because if they want to win the title, I think it's their best year to do it. Because I'll tell you something now, when that new transfer window kicks in, Man City are only going to strengthen. Man City are the team with all that money. Liverpool fans are probably getting scared at the moment. I think they need to go all out and win this Premier League title in 2019. If they don't do it this year, Mario, everyone's going to look at Liverpool like they're a laughing stock. And that is the wrong L to be taken as a football club of Liverpool's size.
It was actually, you know, the week of a lot of derbies. I mean, we have one in North London too, against the two rivalries, because Arsenal and Spurs, those are always been a heated battle. And that's why we're going to wait for this caller to explain to us why he feels this is like not the Spurs that he's enjoyed watching.
Well, I think the Spurs lack some quality. They just come as far as they could go now this season. But I think with some more money and investments, they will win some trophies, I think. But they will need it because they just come a bit short.
Okay, Harry Kane's penalty controversy was a big talking point. Free kick comes into the box. He's at the far post, get a push from Mustavi. And you also could see Koscielny was kind of like marking him because he was between them two. And he kind of lost the fly of the ball. So Harry Kane was going for it, but he was offside. The referee didn't call it. He gave him a penalty. And what happened? Harry Kane slotted in the penalty.
At the end of the day, this is what I love about the game. Like, you know, all right, Kane might have been slightly offside, but we're talking about a shoulder's width, Mario. You know, it's not that vital. Lionel didn't really see it. It's hard to see with all those players lined up. Who's he actually concentrating on? He can't see much. But you know what? It made the game fantastic. And this is the unpredictability. This is that shock moment that just happens. And Harry Kane still has to step up for the penalty. And what a great strike. I mean, he showed Aubameyang what he should have done in the 89th minute. That's a proper player under pressure in a London derby. Bang, straight into the goal. No messing around. Spurs 1, Arsenal 1. Personally, I'd say that's a fair result. I know Arsenal actually played really well. I think Unai Emery got the tactics right on the day, starting with Lacazette, leaving Aubameyang on the bench. It looked as though it was going Arsenal's way. I'll be honest, if VAR was involved in this game, I'd say Arsenal would have won that game. But this is what we love about the Premier League, and this is the best North London derby I've seen in a sense of passion and aggression. I think Spurs played pretty bad. I'll have to agree with what the caller said. They haven't been playing exactly the way they have. You know, since that 3-0 win against Borussia Dortmund, they've turned up and they haven't really played well. But 1-1, North London derby, Harry Kane slots home, Aubameyang misses. I mean, you're paying someone about £300,000 a week, Mario. This guy's turning up in a glittery Lamborghini. He wears sparkly blue trainers and sparkly blue jackets. He looks like an absolute prince, but he looks like a t- in my eyes. But on top of that, how can you miss a 12-yard penalty in the London derby against your rivals? I don't think he actually knows what this game means. His fans are right behind that goal. If he scores that goal, he goes down in Arsenal history and becomes an absolute legend. But he misses. I'm telling you now, Aubameyang needs to start looking at his goals and what he does on the pitch instead of off the pitch. Because if you looked at him off the pitch, you'd think he's one of the best players in the world. But on the pitch, he's absolutely pants. I'm sorry, Mario.
Wow. Well, you make me feel like I'm right in this game. Because apparently, Aubameyang as well, after the game, he wrote something like, I think a little note about this child wanted him to score. And he went back and said like, hey, the child says, okay, next game, daddy. And we all know as professionals, you got to flush it out. It sounds weird, but every player has it. We always take our mind to the next game.
Exactly. Mentally, Aubameyang now has a problem. And this is what I'm saying to you. If he can miss from 12 yards out with a dead ball, how's he going to score outside that box or when the ball's in play? Bad mental attitude. Poor, because he came on with arrogance. If he was wearing those blue shiny trainers on that pitch, I bet he'd bloody score that goal. Disgusting. Disgusting. As a player with his calibre should be finishing a shot like that in that moment of the game. Now he's going to be benched by Unai Emery. Probably won't start the next game. Poor. But like I said, 1-1, fair result in my opinion.
This is a very, very interesting situation. Brendan Rodgers. He gets off to a losing start at Leicester. We all know what happened. Brendan, he won every trophy what you could win with Celtic. The only trophy he hasn't won was the Champions League. But guys, come on, with all the respect to Celtic, that would be a long stretch. So that's why it's an interesting situation. Chris Sutton, he kind of said he downgraded going to Leicester City. He was upset. He screamed about it. He said like, oh, Celtic is bigger than Leicester City. But there is one thing. The Premier League is bigger than the Scottish League. Even Celtic is thinking about that, because they have tried a number of times to be part, or at least rumors came up to be part of the Premier League.
Here we have a problem, right? Now, Celtic are a team that's in Scotland, pal. You can't move Celtic down to Premier League. That doesn't make sense, right? How would that work, Mario? Who would go down? Would they add an extra team? Would they have to go through, you know, League 1, 2, 3, Championship, all of that crap? Would they have to go through that? How would that work, Mario? Which team would suffer? for Celtic coming out into the Premier League. And on top of that, you're a Scottish club, sweetheart. You are playing in the Scottish League. Have some respect and stay in your country. You know, I understand you want to play in the Premier League, but it doesn't work like that, pal. You are in Scotland. You stay in Scotland. You be proud of where you're from. This isn't like a Brexit deal or something like that. You can jump in and out and, oh, how's about I go to Spanish League? You know, I fancy going down to Brazil and playing out there. You can't do that, Mario. But like I said, look, Celtic are a great side. They are bigger than Leicester City. Brendan Rodgers wants to manage in the Premier League. You can't fault the guy for that. He wants to be in and around the biggest clubs. He wants to move. For me, great move. Brendan Rodgers is a single guy, has to do what he has to do for his career. Scottish fans, get off his back. It doesn't make sense. Let the guy do what he has to. He's a single person. He's a human being. Don't mess around. Let the guy play his thing. Let him do his job.
Barcelona, Real Madrid. This is like one of those games that everybody watched, and it was in Madrid. So Barcelona came, it was the first team to win 4 games in a row at the Bernabeu. Barca are now ahead on the El Clasico, head to head. For the first time in 87 years, they are ahead. And Ramos in the game, he had a talking point again, like people like to jump on him against Messi because he gave him an elbow. Look, I like him as a defender because no one can take his ability away. There are not a lot of defenders in the world that can score crucial goals for their team.
El Clásico, El Clásico, El Clásico, Mario. Lionel Messi is exactly what kind of player everybody likes to see. Ramos is dirty. Everybody knows, Mario. You can't hide it. But for Real Madrid to lose 4 in a row, for me, is not El Clásico. El Clásico used to be Zinedine Zidane, David Beckham, special players, you know, Ronaldo, all of these Raul, sexy players, always tiki-taka playing alongside, you know, Carles Puyol and all these special Xavi, Iniesta, but no longer because Barcelona are giving them exactly what they are deserving. Beating, beating, winning, winning. Embarrassing. El Clásico is not El Clásico as of today because I think it should be more special, more powerful, more of a battle. But this time around, it just looks like the Lionel Messi show. It's all, I mean, Mario, what do you think? Because I can't watch this game anymore. I can't watch it anymore.
No, I agree with you because Lionel Messi is definitely the guy that always will dictate, especially now. Sometimes when you look at this league as well, Lionel Messi is the show of the Spanish league. When they had Ronaldo at Real Madrid, it was the two boys that were stealing the show. And at this point now, they're waiting for the next guy to stand up. And Real Madrid is waiting for the next player that can fill those boots.
Mario, totally agree. But if you are looking at the table, Real Madrid are 12 points behind Barcelona. It's embarrassing, Mario. Embarrassingo. Because they should not be losing this kind of lead. 12 points in the La Liga. 4 in a row out away from home at the Bernabeu is a disgusting. They should not be losing these games. But they are, credit to Lionel Messi, what a player. But Real Madrid, you should be embarrassed.
No, I totally understand. So that's why we're going to another big player, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He scored the winner in the LA Galaxy opening day match because the MLS just kicked off. It was this weekend and Galaxy beat Chicago Fire by 2-1. But it was typical Zlatan. He said before the league started, I'm different. I'm better. I'm going to show you that I'm going to change. I'm willing to win everything I can win with this league and me as an individual because I know the league better. I know my players better. And even if everybody knows me now, they still will see a different Zlatan. And yes, first day, first game, Zlatan scores.
It's Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Mario. This guy is phenomenal. He's an alien. He's not from this planet. He probably doesn't understand what it takes to be a normal human being. You know, this guy is not, I'm telling you, I think the police, the FBI, the CID, whatever you want to call him back home, wherever it is you are in the world, needs to start to look into Zlatan, because this guy is not a human being. I mean, he is ridiculous. You know, he has taken the MLS by storm. I mean, the big Swede, you know, got his side off to a strong start with a late winner. You know, like, this guy scores every game. He is like the sexiest car that you could own. He's like the Jaguar, the Lamborghini, the Ferrari. I'd rather have Zlatan Ibrahimovic as president more than I would Donald Trump. I think he would run America better than anybody else, honestly. Like, let's be honest. This guy could run America. You know, he wouldn't even build a wall. He would just stand up on a microphone podium and literally start belling out his voice saying, I am Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And he would change the whole of America, because this guy, he is a phenomenon. I can't understand how he can just score goals when he likes. The confidence is there. The energy is there. The man is a walking machine. He reminds me of the Terminator. He reminds me of RoboCop. He reminds me of Rocky. He is the epitome of a football player. What a great man. I would kiss him on the lips. That's not a joke, Mario. I'd marry this guy.
We're going to go to another guy that always hits the headline. Mario Balotelli. Oh my God. He is playing at Marseille right now, and they had a big game over the weekend. They beat Saint-Étienne 2-0. The things that he does are always, they ask, why always Mario? Why always Mario? He scores the goal at the 12th minute, runs to the sideline, ask one of the people that had a mobile phone, filmed it, and then put it on his storyline on his Instagram. No one ever has done that. So for me, I mean, I've seen that Totti did that picture once when he scored, took a picture from a phone, but he did the Insta storyline and it took social media, went crazy.
It was very cool. It was very unique. It was very different. It was very imaginative, Mario. And I'm totally in agreement with you. But I'm going to go on the flip side and say that football is football. Social media has really taken over the world. And I think, okay, yeah, it was smart, it was clever, and he's gone viral on social media, and everyone's talking about you. Oh, Mario, Mario, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Regardless of that, I just think, let's leave football to be football. I mean, I think personally, that's just as bad as taking your top off and running into the fans. Why? I mean, was he booked for that, Mario? Do you know? Was he booked?
No, I don't think he got booked for that.
Yeah, because I think that's really poor. You know, there's one rule for one and one rule for another. And Mario Balotelli is constantly doing these crazy things. I personally would say, as far as a role model's concerned, for young players and for players that are still coming up into the game, we're not showing them exactly what football's about. You're getting paid money. It is a job, evidently, so you have to work. It's normal. You have a manager. You answer to people. That, personally, if I was the manager, I would have said to Mario, okay, you had your fun, but don't do that again. Because you scored your goal, you celebrate, you get the ball, you go back, and you start playing again. Because you are a professional footballer. I know it's fun, it looks exciting, and all the crowd and all these pathetic people are saying, oh, Mario, wow, that's amazing. No, you're a football player. This is what the game doesn't understand. Social media is good, but let's use it in the right way. Let's use it the way it's supposed to be used. Football is our game. Let's keep it that way. It involves one lever football, the size 5. It's a center circle, 2 goals, a referee, some linos, and 22 players on the pitch. Let's keep it to that. You want to celebrate? Celebrate with your fans who spend all that money on you coming to watch you at the game. You're giving the social media crowd what they want to see, but what about the people that are there in the stadium, spending their money, traveling far to watch you? Do the right thing. Sorry, Mario, but it's just my opinion, you know?
Hey, that's why we call it the People's Podcast. That's what this podcast is all about. So that's why we arrived at the beautiful game. The beautiful game is always where we kick into a couple of global topics that are just different than the normality. So that's why this is a story about Atlanta United, where Frank de Boer is now a manager. They can't play the home leg of the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals at the home stadium because of the monster truck event that is on the same date.
That's ridiculous.
They will instead play the Mexican side CF Monterrey at the fifth Third Bank Stadium, where Kansas State All's Men football team plays. And that's really like, yeah, I mean, I've never heard of this, but okay. I mean, I had it at Wigan with, we had with the rugby, but still, I was fortunate that football would override it. And that's why the Venezuelan striker Jozo Martinez said, I don't want to lie because I'm not good at math or statistic, but I think we play at home and we have a 90% of our game we win. So that's why he was kind of sensitive that they have to move away.
For a monster truck event to start to take over a footballing soccer event? I mean, come on. You know, I understand, you know, you see these big trucks with huge wheels looking like donuts, and these guys are going over big, you know, big hills and lumps, and all you hear is like, I mean, you want to lose your hearing or what, buddy? The game's evolving, and we got to bring soccer into the league and let everybody know in America this is a great sport. It brings people together. It sorts division out. You know, it's going to make everybody a lot happier than a monster truck event. But that just goes to show you how stubborn America, United States is, because all they want to do is have a monster truck event instead of a game like this. And I feel really, really sorry for Atlanta because, you know, this shouldn't be happening. I mean, a monster truck event, like, come on, let's be honest, Mario. Does it make sense to you? Like, would you ever dream of canceling a game because your son's kids have come out and they got remote control cars and they want to ride them on the pitch, so you're going to cancel a game? Come on. You know, it's ridiculous. No. I'd rather see bubble football than monster trucks. God.
Yeah, I know. And actually, the Atlanta fans base is really big, so they can't fill the stadium. So that is definitely not the problem. But hey, it's their tradition. So that's why we go to the next topic. There's this 13-year-old girl turned professional after signing a contract with Nike, Olivia Moultrie. Her agent Spencer is actually interesting because I will tell you that he told the Times that the Nike deal was worth more than the value of a 4-year scholarship to a school such as UNC. She's now the youngest to actually go pro. This is interesting because this girl, it's kind of weird playing with this girl, just a kickabout. And her agent actually was there too, Spencer. It's this big guy, played forward, knows how to hold the ball up really well. But he's actually the agent of this young girl. Very talented. I was really impressed with her ability as a player. She has the technique, the skill. And yeah, let's see if there is more. Because, you know, at the age of 13, there is still a long way to go.
I know, but you said, like you just said, Mario, she's 13 years of age, babe. I mean, what's she going to do? She should still be at home watching CBeebies, drinking a glass of milk, having a little pizza in the oven. She's 13 years of age. I mean, Nike have come and touted her out and signed her up. Fantastic. Parents are laughing. There's all that money in the bank, blah, blah, blah. Let her live her life. She's 13 years of age, Mario. She still wants to go out with her friends, drink Panda Pops, have a little turkey Twizzler. You know, she wants to go pizza right and have one of them buffets or go down to Harvester. She's only 13. She's now in the limelight. She's a big celebrity. She's already blue tick verified. 13 years of age. I mean, Mario, come on. If I had a kid at 13, I'd still want him to go out and have a game in the streets, play jumpers for goalposts, put makeup on, bit of lipsticks, get their nails done, do some drawings, bit of colouring, read a book, watch Harry Potter. She, bless her, what's she going to do now? Go to all these Nike events and see all these big people so they can, you know, kiss her bum and all that and start saying, oh, ain't you a great little player, darling? Ain't you a big celebrity? 13 years of age, I disagree. But the girl has got talent. But now I think there's a lot of pressure on her because she's now technically in the limelight. Everyone's going to want her to do well and succeed and blah, blah, blah. Bless her. She's going to be under so much pressure. I hope she doesn't fold. I am confident because she's great. But I hope for her sake, her parents keep her grounded, humble, still let her live a normal life. But also, you know, enjoy the football because she's only 13, Mario.
No, but you made a comment about the parents, actually. And some people came out that the parents are maybe letting her move on too quickly to Nike and stuff. But I don't believe in that because there are always people talking about that. No, listen, if you have talent, ability and opportunities, you should take them. Because the people that are saying stuff about you not taking it, yeah, because of this or that, those are, if your child would be in the similar situation, then I want you to answer that question. Don't talk about someone else.
No, I agree. I totally agree. Now, if my child was 13 and this opportunity came up, I probably would take it. But what I would say is, let's not make it public. I don't want too much pressure on her. Sign her under the cards. Let, you know, we all know she's signed under Nike. Let her enjoy her football. When she gets about 16, 17, she's learnt a little bit more about life. Then we let everyone know we did sign her at 13, but we didn't want to let you know because it was too much pressure. But I totally understand. If I had a 13-year-old and I got a phone call one day saying, "Hello, it's Nike," I'd say, "Hello, darling, sign her up. I'll have the money. I'm going shopping. Let's all get some Louboutins."
No, and I agree. And she's doing the right thing, because exactly what she did, you know, playing with guys that are way older than her, like including myself when she came along, I think those are the key things, because sometimes I feel that people wait too long. When I was growing up, I was playing with, at the age of 13, I was playing with people that were playing in the first team. Even if they were amateurs, it doesn't matter. They're just physically bigger and faster. So it makes your brain think faster. The only thing I would tell her, because I've seen how she plays, I would like to see, because sometimes here in America, they love the one-touch game. Sometimes it makes you feel like you're in Brazil or something. Dribbling is still allowed, because dribbling is what makes you understand how to beat a player. So you should dribble. And she can beat a player, because I've seen some clips of her and I've played with her, so I know she can dribble. I hope she develops that even more, because the one-touch game, if you already know that, it's an automatic thing. But dribbling is something you either learn really early doors, because later on when you're going to learn it, it's going to be harder. So dribble, you know, dribble.
Yes, it's good, man. It's good. We need the girl to do what she's got to do, man. She's excited right now. She's young. She's having fun. She's, like you said, man, dribble, take players on, do what you got to do, bust a little skill. I'm just happy at the end of the day, like, she's doing what she's got to do. 13, got a little contract and that with Nike. Let's hope she gets a good career out of this. You know what I'm saying, Mario? I hope she does, man. I really hope she does.
I agree. So that, now we go to our last point. Is a fan took over a linesman after an official suffering a hamstring, because that's funny. He was sitting in the stand. It was a team, Stan Riar and Stenhouse Moyer in the Scottish League One. Maybe I said the two names wrong. Don't quote me on that.
That's all right. It's all right. Listen, you're entitled. It's actually Stranraer versus Stenhouse Moyer, but it don't matter. Listen, a lot of people struggle with these names, Mario. Don't worry about that, son.
Yes. I love it, man. That's why I'm... You see, that's why I love the People Podcast. I will always get help from my people.
Yes. Everybody struggle. Stranraer versus Stenhouse Moyer. It's possible.
Okay, good. So, hey, what happens then? Look at this. Kieran, a South Scottish League Mets official. So Kieran came off out of the stand, and they had to wait 11 minutes for him because he was getting ready. But he came on, took over the linesman job, and the game ended up being a 1-1 draw. So that's why it's now, it's not only the officials can run the game now, it's fans that come into the game too now.
Yeah, man. The fans, listen, wicked, bruv. How unbelievable is this? Could you imagine, bruv? You turn up to the stadium. You got your ticket in your hand, bruv. You put it in the scanner. Beep. You go inside. You buy one hot dog. Obviously, halal one. You get one drink. You sit down. You're watching the game. 12 minutes in, man them say to you, "Bruv, the lino has gone down, you know. He's got a hamstring injury." Okay, what's going to happen? You want to do the lino? Wicked, bruv. Take off your top, give your friend the hot dog, give him the drink. He's happy, he's got one free drink and a hot dog. Go on the pitch, put the lino thing on, and you start to do the game. Bruv, you could not write this thing, bruv. This is like a film. I swear to God, gas me on my mother's nipple, bro. I want to make this a film, because you could not imagine this. He's sitting in the stand watching the game. 12 minutes later, his friend's tapping him on the shoulder. "Listen, bro, do you want to do the linesman?" "I don't mind." He goes downstairs, goes onto the pitch, grab the flag. "Hello, offside." No, that doesn't count. Handball. Wicked, bro. This guy's loving it. Kieran, if you are listening, bro, I swear to God, I envy you, bro, because what an unbelievable thing. He goes onto the pitch against this brand rare, by the name is Stenhouse the Moyers, and he's a linesman. And the game is one crazy game as well. Wicked times, good times, fun times, magical times. I am so happy this kind of thing is happening, because that's unbelievable, bro. Unbelievable, yaar.
Oh my God, guys! You see, this is what this is what we do in the People's Podcast. We bring passion to your passion, ears. We do everything. That's what we do. We come to the end. We come to the end again. We don't want to stop.
We don't want to finish. We don't want to finish. This is the best podcast.
I love this podcast.
I'm telling you, bro. Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah. Let us give them the number too. We give them the number. It's actually +44 77 96 53 87 28. If you want to call in, comment. Tell them again. Okay, let me tell them again. Okay, the number is +44 77 96 53 87 28. If they want to join us, come in.
Jump on. Message us, call us, tell us whoever you want to. People Podcast, me, Man Like Hacks, Mario Melchior, legend in the game. One time, two time, three time, best podcast in the world. People's Podcast. Okay.